Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about working with professionals to give them the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And as you know, this is my favorite time of the year. We are talking LinkedIn and how we really can and should be using LinkedIn as a professional tool. And as I say, every program, every single professional should be on LinkedIn, should be optimizing their use of it. You know, no more, hey, when was the last time I updated my profile type of things? This is something that you really should be using. And today, we're going to be getting into maybe the emotional aspects is the way to put this, because this is so cool. I can't wait to really talk about this. So please join me in welcoming Susan K. Younger to our program today. Welcome, Susan. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fabulous, and thank you so much for having me here with you today. I really am excited to talk about this tool and how fun it is to work with LinkedIn.
It is. And the funny thing is, we've known each other for several years, and I never knew until I knew about your tool, because I had, of course, used it. And so we're going to talk about that because it's so much fun and so enlightening. But I never knew that you had a way to connect it with LinkedIn. And so this is so cool. So let me tell people a little bit about you, and then we will dive in. So Susan K. Younger, relationship architect, has been working with BANK, and that's an acronym, B-A-N-K, methodology since 2015. She has combined her wide backgrounds and various roles as leader, manager, author, coach, and trainer to solve problems, helping others effectively develop interpersonal communication skills important in both business and in life. The Codebreaker AI is a valuable tool, that's what we're going to be talking about, with the LinkedIn extension she has worked with since 2019. Susan started with a degree in architecture and worked with architects in Iowa before moving to Dallas to work with a retail design firm. For more than a decade, she was the store planning director for Broadway Southwest in Arizona. Returning to Dallas in 1995, she worked with design firms, leading teams building and renovating department stores, including those little stores called Macy's and Bloomingdale's. The management of several diverse teams, while held to high expectations in various industries, has given Susan a depth of experience few business leaders acquire. She wrote a book, Simple Living, Simple Food, Life Lessons Learned, Dining with Family and Friends, which was published in 2013, and she has been a contributing author to 5 other books on leadership and life. So again, Susan, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's always funny to hear somebody read your, bio, and you're like, oh yeah, I did all that.
I know. It's and especially the background part, because we kind of forget those things. But it's funny because when I was, when I knew that you were trained as an architect, this makes perfect sense. Because it just flows right into that. But I always like talking to my guests to say, how the heck did you get to where you are today? So tell us a little bit how you discovered that, at least for right now, this is your passion in life.
So, I was in those corporate meetings for years and hearing people argue, and you're looking at them and going, your points of view are not that different.
Right.
You just are saying it in ways that you cannot hear the other person, because their value or their point of view seems to be so foreign to you,
right,
that you only are hearing it in your language.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I couldn't exactly explain to them how I could see
right.
that they were close together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 7 years ago, I heard Sherry Tree, the creator and founder of the BANK methodology, mm-hmm. speak at a conference.
Mm-hmm.
And as she described the different points of view of these 4 personality mm-hmm. profiles, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's taken what's in my brain intuitively mm-hmm. and created a way to take this message back to corporations. Mm-hmm. Now, she did not start with the intent that it would be a business building tool in terms of those relationships. She saw it as a sales tool to increase the way you connected with somebody in a sales conversation to engage them in a yes by speaking to their mm-hmm. value.
Right.
I immediately saw the relationship side of this and was sure that this was going to be something I would work with the rest of my life mm-hmm. because it would help so many people break down the barriers between them in a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and it is something, and we've talked about this. It is so simple, but it is so enlightening. You know, and we've all done how many varieties of personality tests, right? You know, and I'm an extrovert. Big surprise, right? You know, and all of the various things that many times when we started a job, you know, they made us take those tests. I have no idea why, because they never ever talk about it again. I'm not even sure that my supervisors were given the results. You know, it was just kind of one of those HR checkoff things, right? You know, you took the whatever's tests. And, you know, my thing with those tests was, especially when I was taking them for employment purposes, I always thought, what do they want me to say? Or what is it better for me to say? You know, works well in teams. Yeah, that's probably something that they really want me to say, whether I do or not, you know, all of those various things. And the thing with the bank tool is it really, you know, as I said, simple, easy peasy. I took it again today, 3 minutes, maybe. I mean, you know, it's, and I got a very detailed report, which, you know, I have not read in detail. I kind of skimmed through it for the program. But it's so simple. But both times that I have taken it now, I've read the results and gone, yippers, that's me. And you know, it's a little, you know, there's some things where I'm thinking, well, it could be this or that. And I mean, that's the way with all of these things. But let's really delve into it. So what is the bank code?
The bank code has four personalities: blueprint, action, nurturing, and knowledge. Mm-hmm. And each one of them is based on a self-selected value base that she created in a reverse engineered method. So we jokingly say it's exactly the same thing, only totally different than all the others, mm-hmm. because it's that four personality base that Hippocrates created, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago. Mm-hmm. However, she did not use psychology. She used what she calls biology, and that's spelled B-U-Y. Why you buy
into, why do you buy things?
Mm-hmm. Right? Why do you buy things? Because she was looking at this as selling to you. I immediately started calling it a buy-in, because when you talk about a conversation, it's, you could truly call it a sales conversation, but really you're engaging somebody and you want them to engage with you when you're talking with them. Right. In a meeting, you want them to buy into an idea. If you're talking about somebody doing a task on a job, you are asking them to buy into what they are going to do with you or for you. So it's important to understand the values from which they make that decision. When you look at the blueprint, we talk about that being the person in the box, the person who is always looking for the checklist. You know, they are like, the rules are meant to be followed.
Right.
For the people who are looking for the tradition, stability, structure. They want the systems and the process to be defined. And in working in an architectural office, I was always confused when somebody who was really creative would turn to me and say, well, how do you want me to approach this? Give me my checklist. And I'm like, going, what do you need a checklist for? Now, my blueprint is my lowest code. People would have thought I would have been high in blueprint because as an architectural designer.
I mean, there's a lot of things that the rules absolutely have to be followed.
However, I didn't do them just to follow the rules. Mm-hmm. I did them for values based in another code. I'm going to kind of go through them sequentially, the blueprint. Now, action, man, these are your movers, your shakers, your millionaire makers. These are the people that show up late and they go, the party's starting.
I'm here. Da-da-da-da. Right?
Meanwhile, the blueprint showed up 30 minutes early.
Mm-hmm. Right, because they plan ahead.
They needed to plan ahead. They needed to make sure they knew how the seating was going to work. They needed to be secure and comfortable.
Right.
So this action person shows up and they're looking for freedom, flexibility. They want to know that it's going to be a win for them. Mm-hmm. Who else is here? How cool do I look? And I hope you notice how cool.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
We are all about all those things that we call A-list.
Mm-hmm.
And A-list ends up working very well. That is colored a red card because, you know, they're red hot.
Right.
They want the red carpet.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. They might be red haired.
Yes, on occasion. Yes, my dear, since that is your first code. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we both share the fact that Blueprint is our last code.
Mm-hmm.
We are not looking for that list to figure out what we're doing. We're just going to go for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Action is my second code. So where others will say, well, gee, you just blew this off and went and did this. I'm like going, yeah, I need the fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it may not be my first code, but it's still very strong for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My leading code is the nurturing, and that's your second code. So you and I have an easy time because we can bounce back and forth between those first two codes.
Mm-hmm.
It makes conversation for us something we can, as we say, dance around because we don't stay in, we don't stay in that box. Even as a blueprint, you don't stay in that box.
Mm-hmm.
The nurturing values are all about the connection. These are the people who come at you, arms open, ready to hug you, whether you want to hug or not.
Right. You're like, okay. You know,
I've got a friend whose blueprint and nurturing is her last code, and she is backing up so fast from
she's got her bag in front of her.
She's really, really friendly because she's blueprint action, but she's like, don't get too close. I haven't approved it yet. You know, she hasn't vetted you off her list.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's that authentic relationship. How do I build that personal connection?
Mm-hmm.
Nurturing are looking at you eye to eye. They want that deep conversation. They want to get involved in your team. They want to know who is your team.
Mm-hmm.
How are you playing with them? And they also want to know, what are you contributing to the world? How are you contributing? Is there a charity that you support? How do they create that harmony?
Mm-hmm.
How do they look at the harmony in the ethics even and the morality of what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about those having that heart of gold. And so the color is a very golden yellowy and like a sunflower, you know, bright and shiny. And then there's the knowledge, and the knowledge card is green.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we frequently say it's green with envy because these are frequently the smartest people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But that action person is up there standing up going, hey.
Right. And the knowledge people are like, excuse me, I'm the one who put this together.
Exactly. You know, but they are standing to the back because they need to take in all the information in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
They are about learning, intellect. These are the people we say you do not sell to them because it takes forever.
Right. Because they're going to analyze it to death.
Yes. And you have lots of salespeople who say, I don't want to work with them because they're too hard.
Mm-hmm.
What they're ignoring is that sometimes these can be the easiest to sell to.
Right.
You say, here's the information. Vet it yourself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'll reach out to you. I don't need to spend a lot of time with you because you will vet it yourself. If you give them enough information for them to vet, they can make a decision much faster than most people think.
Mm-hmm.
They are about the research and development they do. They want to learn from experts. And in a networking environment, if you don't have somebody speaking at the front of the room that is considered a viable expert, they don't want to go.
Right.
They want to be in a room with the smart people and they want to have those really, it's interesting in a group where you will have knowledge people seeming to hold off on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody brings up a really technical, high, deep question. And all of a sudden, these people are just like all over this topic.
Right.
And the rest of the group is like, what happened? Mm-hmm. How'd they get ignited?
Mm-hmm.
It's the knowledge. It's that information. It's that universal truth that
brings them forward. Mm-hmm. Right.
So yeah. She literally let the people self-select and mm-hmm. tell themselves as a group what were their values. And that's right. how she defined it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for folks who are watching or listening, this is easy peasy, folks. You go to mybankcode.com and you can do this for free. There's no charge to find out what your bank code is. And that's what I love about this, because, you know, it's so much, and you get the report. I mean, you know, there's all sorts of good, juicy stuff that you get with absolutely no charge. And you go through and you know, as Susan said, it's the four cards. And it's got the values on it, and you just put them in order as to what's important to you, and then it goes from there. You know, and I find this so interesting because, so I did this morning, and so mine was ANKB. So action, nurture, knowledge, blueprint. And, you know, Susan and I were talking before the program. I go back and forth on action and nurturing as to which is more important. And blueprint is funny because I do like to follow rules. I mean, there are times where it's like, no, this is the way it needs to be done. But usually that's because that's the easier way to do it. You know, I tell people, no, we got to do it that way. That's the rule. You know, I don't have to convince them. I don't have to do anything. I'm just like, no, this is the way it has to be done. Right? You know, so it's not that I'm... It's the easier path. So, you know, you can get this information and you know, what I love is that if you at least have a glimmer of what someone else is, that starts showing you how to deal with them, both with your communications, all of those things. What's even better is if they actually take this test themselves. So talk to us about how, when you know someone else's bank code, or at least have a pretty good idea of what you think it is, why do we need to know that?
You need to know that because most of the time your conversation is based on your values.
Right.
So when you're talking to somebody else, if you know their values, mm-hmm. you can shape the conversation to engage them for a yes, because you are now talking to the things that are important to them instead of the viewpoint that's important to you. Mm-hmm. So when I talk to somebody who's in action, I need to have that high energy. I need to acknowledge who they are and the power that they bring with them. If I'm talking to a blueprint, I need to give them the security and structure to know that there is minimal risk in what we're getting involved in. Mm-hmm. That puts them at ease so that they know they can listen to what needs to be done and that it's going to be a low risk venture for them to get involved with. Mm-hmm. So you talk to people in a way that engages the values they hold dear, and they are much faster at accepting what you were looking for them to do to engage with.
I love it.
And when you look at messages that come in on LinkedIn, think of mm-hmm. the time somebody sends a message to you and you go, man, that just wasn't talking to me.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or I don't even understand it.
I don't understand mm-hmm. what they're asking me. Mm-hmm. Those are telling you they did not speak your code. Mm-hmm. You know. The neat thing about this that is different from other profiles is, as a subscriber to the system, when the person cracks their code, like, if you just crack it at my bank code, it goes to corporate. Mm-hmm. However, I have a subscription and that after the my bank code is a slash get mm-hmm. result. That means that I will then get notified that you cracked your code. Mm-hmm. And it will tell me to go look for the sales report that says this is the best way to talk to Deb. Mm-hmm. If you want to honor her and respect her values, mm-hmm. you will talk about those things that are exciting to an action. You will engage with the nurturing side that she's interested in, but you will avoid the things in the blueprint mm-hmm. that would be the things that she's like going, don't spend your time on that. That's going to bore me. Mm-hmm. And you will understand that if something is stressing you, you will bring in the keys points of knowledge. Like you and I, when we get stressed, mm-hmm. we ask questions.
Right.
We want to know more information than mm-hmm. we would otherwise because mm-hmm. you're going to vet it if we don't trust it. Mm-hmm. Action and nurturing both work from that intuitive kind of, I emotionally decide to do this and I don't need a lot of stuff behind it. But as mm-hmm. knowledge is our stress code, mm-hmm. if something doesn't ring true for us intuitively, we turn to questions we turn to give me more information. You're not going to push me into a decision. Mm-hmm. And that stress code, some people will say, oh, that turns you off. No, frequently that's the one you pull forth when you're under stress, mm-hmm. and you become more that. Right. So you start to listen to somebody's tone and how they are coming at you to figure out, oh, they're under stress. They're asking me more questions than they would normally. Mm-hmm. I need to back off from how I might have mm-hmm. sat with them and talked about something in a very frivolous way and go deeper into the information they're looking mm-hmm. for. It then allows you to connect with them in a way that is really honoring where they're at in that moment. Right. Right. And I love the fact that this is not, I'm putting you in a box and you are always there. Mm-hmm. This is the code you really dance with. And we will, in a conversation, say, oh, I hear your blueprint coming out. What mm-hmm. what more detail do you need? Mm-hmm. Here's the pieces of that I need to answer for you.
Right. You know, and what I, you know, as a marketing person, we're always uh-huh. telling people, you have to communicate with folks how they want to get the message. You yep. know, and then, of course, you know, we put our own spin on it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this makes it really simple. So, I mean, you know, the easy thing is think about who your target audience is and what kind of their overall traits might be. So you might not, you know, you can't speak to every single person en masse. I mean, you know, you have to figure out, okay, this, like, say architects. Architects are going to be much higher on blueprint knowledge, because they are factually oriented people. You know, they just, that's what they, you know, they have to go by. You know, if you're dealing more with creative types, then you're probably going to want more of the acturing and nurturing type of communications. And I, you know, we see that all the time where, you know, say you send an email to somebody and you get crickets or whatever. And it's because you didn't do it in their language, you know, in a lot of, I mean, yeah, we've got that old saying, you know, you were speaking Greek. Sometimes that really is what's happening.
Yeah. And the beauty of this is you start to be able to put a little bit of everything in at times. Mm-hmm. So in a conversation, when you're speaking to a group, you know, you're going to have some of everybody.
Right.
But you may know that that group, based on who they are, is more one code than another. Mm-hmm. So you add more of those codes to it, but you mm-hmm. still, as we would say, drip enough of the other pieces in mm-hmm. to make everybody feel that they've been seen
right.
and heard.
Right.
And that makes a world of difference. Mm-hmm. And what I love about this is it doesn't become male or female. It really becomes across all countries, codes, mm-hmm. Genders. It's
right.
very much about your values. You can have a nurturing man and you can have a blueprint woman.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, these things, they take them on in their own way, mm-hmm. but it does help you to look at how are they approaching that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's helped relationships where all of a sudden they're going, oh, no wonder I've been having trouble mm-hmm. getting my husband, wife, or partner
right. yeah.
to do mm-hmm. do anything, because I'm approaching it from where I'm at mm-hmm. and I'm not hearing them. Mm-hmm. And conversations in teams are amazing because people start to go, oh, wait a minute. I've been saying that person's value isn't important because they don't look at it the way I do. Mm-hmm. And now I can see what they bring to the team. Mm-hmm. And if I would talk to them a little bit differently from their language, I will then engage them right. in a way that we do something mm-hmm. faster, get it done deeper, mm-hmm. and we really get a result that serves our clients right. as well as ourselves mm-hmm. as a team.
Right. So, you know, and yeah. certainly with much less frustration.
Much less frustration. You know,
it's funny. I was remembering a time when I was giving a presentation on how to use LinkedIn to a group who had been unemployed. And yeah. so, you know, I do my typical presentation with lots of stories, lots of anecdotes, lots of, you know, and the big thing was I kept saying we a lot. Now, turns out that the group was, they were unemployed, but they were all engineers. And I had a heckler in the crowd. Never been heckled before or since, but I had a heckler in the crowd. And so the first thing that he heckled me about, and I mean, back row person, you know, got to love those people, right? So he's in the back row and he says, why do you keep saying we you are not an engineer. And didn't miss a beat. I said, you're right. I'm terribly sorry. And my brain actually, you know, let me adapt to saying you pretty quickly. I mean, you know, it figured that out. But, you know, then a couple more times he heckled me and he said, you know, stop telling stories. You know, I want the facts. I want numbers, you know, all of those things. And it was funny because I could see the other people nodding, but of course they were annoyed at him. And ultimately I asked him to leave because he was getting so disruptive that I asked him to leave and the people applauded. So, you know, but I, right then I thought I have, and I actually apologized to the group. I said, I am sorry. You know, I should have included more. And I said, and I can do that. I said, my slides might not quite match. I said, but I will start talking numbers and things. So that's where, like I said, just knowing kind of overall what I think the group might want, it helps with how you're trying to communicate with them.
What's beautiful when we talk LinkedIn and the artificial intelligence that was mm-hmm. created in 2019.
Right.
Is that all of a sudden with that, you were no longer doing what we call speed coding to guess what somebody mm-hmm. is. You actually had the ability to run their profile right. through the AI mm-hmm. and it would tell you to what code that was mm-hmm. written. So if I got a message from somebody like I did in 2020 mm-hmm. from a guy in India, mm-hmm. now his message to me was short, sweet mm-hmm. in LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. I ran his profile through the mm-hmm. AI. I ran his message through the AI. I pulled up the company he represent, did their webpage through the AI, pulled up the people that were listed as the lead people in that company, ran all of them through the AI. Mm-hmm. Everything was knowledge-based company, mm-hmm. but there was something in his message that spoke action. Oh. And when I looked at the history of what he had done and where mm-hmm. he had been, I thought, I had a feeling this is the action sales guy mm-hmm. for a knowledge company. Mm-hmm. So my response to him played to that action mm-hmm. and what information did the company. Mm-hmm. We ended up with an hour and a half conversation.
Oh, how fun.
Because he felt seen for who he was, mm-hmm. as well as me recognizing mm-hmm. the type of business that he was representing mm-hmm. and where he needed to try and take.
Right.
Had I just, you know, quickly replied to the fact, oh, it's a knowledge company, I just need to give them blah, blah, blah. I would have lost him immediately mm-hmm. because he was action, even though the company mm-hmm. wasn't.
Right. So let's really delve into this. So that's the Codebreaker AI part of what yeah. we want to talk about. And there is a fee to this, you know, and that might change over the course of time. So, you know, it could be different today than it is, you know, and so just, you know, folks, just check that out for yourself. It's very reasonable. You know, I looked at it and went, oh, okay. So, you know, you were telling me this morning that you ran my LinkedIn profile through it. And so when I did my profile, again, I got ANKB. So when you put my LinkedIn profile through Codebreaker, what did you find?
Nurturing action, blueprint, knowledge. So mm-hmm. your first two flipped and your last two flipped.
Right. And so, that's just fascinating to me as to why that would be.
I think, as you said earlier, when you look at the action and nurture, you see them as being very close for mm-hmm. you. When you're reaching out to people to let them know you want to help them, that's a nurturing activity.
Right. And I tell people I'm a master connector.
Yes, that sort of connection and master connector and really helping them to use the tools mm-hmm. is that camaraderie piece of nurturing. Mm-hmm. So that's why your profile shows up as you're somebody who is there more in service to the community mm-hmm. than about lauding your own abilities. Mm-hmm. But you still have a lot of action in it to say, but I'm the one who's going to get it done. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a dilly-dally action. Mm-hmm. But then you also have put enough structure into it so that they know in a situation of stress, you've created stability, structure, and low risk for them. Mm-hmm. They don't need a lot of knowledge information. They don't need the deep learning in your profile mm-hmm. to understand how you would be of service to them.
Right.
It makes perfect sense to me that what you have done is written this to who you're looking to help.
Mm-hmm. without getting far from who I want to be. Exactly. You know, because that's the other thing is, you know, I don't care where we are, online, in person, any of those things. What's critical is to be authentic to yourself.
Exactly.
You know, and so by just flipping those, you know, the ones that I think are important, I mean, it's not like I did major changes and I had no idea. I mean, when you and I talked about this morning, it was just like, holy cow. You know, and it made perfect sense because it kept who I was while still reaching out in the way I wanted to speak to who I want to talk to. You know, and so that's, I love this. I think this is just so cool.
Yeah. And the great thing about the AI tool, and when you're working with it, it also has an opportunity for you to frame the message back if you are speaking to their code. Mm-hmm. So when somebody sends me a message and I put it in the AI, then there's a button that says, hey, push this button to see how your response is. Mm-hmm. You can drop your response in and then it'll decipher your response.
So you might have been needing a blueprint response, but you got a nurturing one.
Yes. And from your point of view, you're like, well, I thought I put a lot of detail in there that blueprint would be looking for. And I thought I defined the low risk. No, you still wrote it with the nurturing. I care about you more than I care about the detail.
Right. And they went, And let's be honest. I mean, we've seen that happen. Either somebody, you know, you've crafted this great thing and they look at you like, so?
Yeah. And you don't have online, you don't have that immediate response from somebody. Mm-hmm. So the beauty of this tool is it really helps you to start to hear how you sound in a way through the words. Mm-hmm. I also love the fact that the 12 values, there's literally buttons on the side of this that give you the tips and sale points. Mm-hmm. It gives you the expectations of how they will show up. Mm-hmm. And it takes those 12 words and gives you an expanded definition that we call the power scripting piece of it. So when we do trainings, we literally will spend a week diving into the values, the likes, the dislikes, all the different things that would show up if you don't have the tool in front of you so that you start to identify them on your own.
Right.
But when you start to write with it, it's still amazing how you're like going, crap, I am far from
missed that one.
mm-hmm. And other times, the more you use the AI tool, you start going, oh, I am starting to understand this. Mm-hmm. And I will literally have a Word document open on the side and I'll take a line at a time or a paragraph at a time and drop it in to see if it landed the way I wanted it to. And how do I need to tweak the next paragraph? Because I may want all four codes in this reply.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I just need it to still ring higher to one of the codes than the other.
Yeah. You might want to catch their attention with say the knowledge, then you're going, you know, then you're, you know, and you're going to end with action, and I'm not meaning that as call to action. You're wanting them to take that action.
Yes, for themselves, whatever that is, not necessarily coming to you, but how do they address the question they presented to you? And it really does become this thing that we will spend time digging deep into a message at points because we're going, wow, how can I make this a message that somebody really wants to read.
Right.
And it's been amazing to me how quickly you start to find that you don't want to open anything without the AI. Mm-hmm. And I've got clients who have said, I don't need all the other stuff, but I can't live without that AI tool because between LinkedIn and the emails that they run through it really helps them to understand the people they are connecting with in a way that they feel truly honors them. You know, so search companies that do search firm type work for information or for staffing are going, this is a great tool for me to connect with. Mm-hmm. And salespeople are saying, this shortened my sales cycle. Mm-hmm. We've got just 2 weeks ago, we did a conference for a chiropractor who, when he first heard Sherry speak, he says, well, that's a neat idea, but I'm already closing at 80%.
Oh, that's not bad.
So why would I need that? And she goes, well, what's the other 20% worth to you?
Yeah. Now, and maybe the other 20% are actually the higher ticket people.
So, you know, he was like, okay, you got me. Because he was high action and she just threw action back at him. He signed up. 6 months later, he called her and he says, all right, will you speak at my next conference? And she goes, well, tell me what happened. He says, you know, my closing rate went from 80% to 90%.
Wow.
He says, but the bigger deal was the time it took me to close a client went from an hour and a half conversation to 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Right. He says, so he actually could do three in the time that used to take him one. And that's the number that, you know, that the blueprint people like.
And also the action person, because I now have free time,
right,
whether I want to put it into business or put it into extracurricular fun.
Right.
You know, the nurturing, I've helped more people, the knowledge, these are the statistics that I needed to know for this to be valuable.
Right.
And when you can do that with other industries, you know, real estate, one of the guys that's a real estate agent has been teaching other agents in his office and their close rate went from 30% to 80% in the office as everybody started using this tool.
Right.
It's amazing how this tool helps people who thought they were good at something become extraordinary and thought people who felt like they weren't connecting previously to feeling seen and heard and understood by others.
Right. You know, and as we were talking, I was thinking about LinkedIn again on how, especially initial communications, when somebody connects. And it's funny because several of us have this thing of, you know, where we, you know, that the, you know, we get this ick that we think is ick, right? And so we've got a little online group and we're like, oh my God. And it's the people who jump from, hi, how are you? It's great to connect, to, I want to sell you the best thing in the world. And to me, who wants to build that relationship, I see them as being incredibly spammy. They're thinking, we need to provide you with knowledge and information.
Yes.
They could care less about the the relationship part.
Right.
And you know, I immediately go, look, I'm not going to read it. I'm not even going to connect with them, especially if they sent that in their request to connect. Hey, we need to connect because I've got this great tool. And I'm like, nope.
And a big part of that is them understanding that they are losing customers and they are doing that old standard. How many no's does it take to get to a yes?
Spray and pray.
Yes. Instead of understanding that sales is a people game more than it is a numbers game.
Right.
And the reason it's become a numbers game is because of that. You hit too many people with the wrong message. So you're losing them.
Right. Well, and not only that, we're going, ew, ew, and telling other people, ew, ew, right?
Yeah. You lose their referrals as well as the opportunity to do business with them. I mean, there have been people I've connected with that I'm like, I'm not going to do business with you, but I love what you stand for, and I'll be happy to refer you. Mm-hmm. And people forget that sometimes that referral can be a way bigger deal. Yeah.
I might not need to buy X, but I'm happy to tell my friends to do it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or I'm happy to connect you with that business you didn't have any connection to, but you didn't realize I did.
Right. You know, and of course the we're all salespeople, you know, and I love it. Anytime I have a person on my program who trains people to be salespeople, you know, we always talk about the fact that we all go, I don't want to do sales. Right? Every one of us, ew, ah. You know, and of course, if we are in business, we are in sales, you know, we better sell our business. And we either get caught in the cut and paste method, right? Which is what a lot of these people have done, or the, you know, this is the way it works, or more importantly, in a lot of cases, it's, this is what someone has told me I have to do, especially if you are an employee. They've given you the template. They have said, this is what you do. And, you know, and I don't care, you know, if you're, you know, a franchisor, we've had a lot of those on the program, things like that. And yes, that information is great, but you again need to put your own twist on it. I about said spin, and I think spin is a bad word. So we want to put a twist on it.
You want to show your uniqueness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You want to show them that you see their uniqueness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the difference in that a lot of people are like, I'm unique. Mm-hmm. I think you are all alike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm the action, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I see it even with the blueprints who are like, this is exactly what everybody needs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Instead of being the understanding that there are others out there that need it mm-hmm. from a different point of view.
And again, the big thing about this is it saves time and... You know, because rather than, okay, sending, say, you know, 30 requests to connect on LinkedIn, just randomly, yada, 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 and putting whatever in there and maybe getting one or two, if you had truly focused that time on getting the right five,
oh yeah,
then you're going to get those five as opposed to 28 rejections. Did I do my math right? I forgot what my original number was. 30. Yeah. So, yeah. And so you want, you know, spending the time to get the right five. And of course, that's the hard part because people always want to get as many as possible. But the many are not that, you know, that I'm always harping on the fact that it is quantity, not quality. Yeah. So you want to get those right ones. And it might initially take a little bit longer because you have to research them. But again, you're researching them to be contacting them with the right message. So you've sped up that process ultimately in actually connecting with them and maybe doing business with them.
Right. You start to see, we jokingly talk about, is your avatar, what's the bank code of your avatar?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the gals the other day was saying she's nurturing in action. And she went back after she was introduced to this and ran the code of all of her past clients. She says, I never stopped to think about the fact that they were primarily knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed the clarity and service that she provided.
Right.
And she says, they came to me because they were referred to me mm-hmm. by somebody else who was not mm-hmm. knowledge, but was nurturing mm-hmm. that could tell them I was a trusted resource. Mm-hmm.
But then they needed that expertise.
They needed her expertise.
Mm-hmm.
However, she was writing messages to that action and nurture because that's who she was and that's who she mm-hmm. thought she was connecting with.
Mm-hmm.
She says, when I learned I needed to direct my message to a greater knowledge aspect,
mm-hmm.
she says, it was so much easier to find my right client.
Right.
And we don't stop to think about, why did I succeed with mm-hmm. this person? What about them
mm-hmm.
made them my ideal client?
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, one of the things that we talked about before the program was when you run a bank, when you run the AI on somebody and on their LinkedIn profile, and it's way different than what they think. Many times that's because either someone else has written their profile. And we do that service. So now, see, this is really making me think, oh, we need to add a level to this, you know. And so they put in, you know, they put in, again, a lot of times the writer puts in what they think is important, may or may not be, you know, or more importantly, it might be that it's a team. So a sales team who have, you know, similar messaging because corporate has said, these are the things you need to talk about.
Our five points.
Yeah. You know, and you can have that messaging in there. You just phrase it differently because again, you need to have your authentic personality still in there.
Yes. And you want to have the authentic personality of who you're trying to connect with.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs to share in a way that represents both.
Right.
That they still feel secure that you're going to show up
mm-hmm.
as who you are
mm-hmm.
and respect them for who they are
mm-hmm.
in a way that they don't feel like, wait a minute, that message made me think I was seen, but you in your day-to-day actions,
mm-hmm.
your day-to-day languaging aren't talking to me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not feeling seen and heard here.
Right.
It, it's important to make it integral to you on so many different levels that you can engage with those people in that.
Right.
And that's what's great about it, a tool that you can use, you know, and so many other profile exercises are a subscription of one. Mm-hmm. What I love about ours is it's a monthly subscription. And if you ran it a million times, you don't get charged.
Right. So it's that one or a million or however many. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Use it and use it widely to your success at a really reasonable rate.
Right.
So
right.
That's kind of the fun for me with it.
Yeah. And it's interesting, as you and I have been talking about this, I was, you know, thinking, we're kind of still, because you and I are high action and nurturing. It's been a lot of our messaging. And our knowledge and our blueprint people might have gone, And so I'm looking at your key points. And so here's one of the things that you provided to me. Forbes called Codebreaker AI the future of sales, and it accurately predict buying behavior in nanoseconds. So those of you who need knowledge and blueprint, Forbes thinks this is pretty cool. And I'm not getting a penny off of this. There's nothing that I'm getting from this. But the other thing is, you know, the United Nations thought this was pretty cool. So tell us about that.
So when they were creating the AI, because we've had the tool of bank code for 20 years ago when Sherry first created it. Mm-hmm. But when we were trying to develop the AI and develop the technical side, she was invited to speak at the UN's AI for Good conference in May of 2019. Mm-hmm. And at that point, the tool wasn't openly out to the world. Mm-hmm. Forbes had written the article in March. This was now in May. And she was there with one of the technicians who actually used to work for IBM and on the creation of Watson, the computer. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Who was a technical advisor to us. So we've had some pretty amazing.
Yeah. If you need knowledge and blueprint, they're there.
They're there. And anyway, they were going up with the phone and interviewing somebody on a conversation, handing them the four cards and, you know, the four cards they hand them. And the guy sorts his four cards and says, this is what my code is. While he spoke, they recorded his presentation, and sure enough, the AI was matching his code to what he picked as his cards. Mm-hmm. And they really wanted to see that this was an AI that had the emotional intelligence to respect others. It wasn't just looking for data about how much money or any of those things. It was really looking at the emotional connection, the empathy involved. Mm-hmm. And what I love is it's continuing to learn and expand.
Right.
So when it first came out, it could only match the first code. Now it's up to matching the first and second code. Mm-hmm. It's continuing to expand and learn as well. And it's great to have something that is AI for good, not just AI for the sake of how fast and how much you can make this happen.
Right.
We really are about a community that makes people matter and one world, one language by engaging with them in who they are. Mm-hmm. The code crack on site, when you go to the code crack, is in 30 languages already.
Wow.
We're in 100 countries. Mm-hmm. The reports come out in 6 languages. Mm-hmm. So there are 6 different languages that somebody can download their sales report or anything. Mm-hmm. And what's fun is when somebody overseas that doesn't speak English cracks their code, the report I get and the message I get does not come in my language. It comes in there, which tells me I then need to translate it into English. But I love the fact that it shows up with respect for who they are.
Right.
And asked me to change it to English for myself instead of showing up in English for me and asking them to translate.
Right. Yeah, that makes me curious from a cultural aspect.
Yes.
Are there, you know, is everybody everywhere just kind of across the board? Or are there certain cultures that tend to have more dominant traits?
Yes, absolutely. Cultures do have more dominant traits. And you find that in, we also will track, if you look, it'll sometimes say, what country are you from?
Right.
We've cracked over 250,000 codes internationally. Mm-hmm. And we are trying to decipher, you know, does a country have a code? You mm-hmm. find German and Netherlands, Japan tend to be a little more blueprint. Mm-hmm. And I recognized it because when I first was introduced to bank, I was working for an architectural firm. Mm-hmm. I was doing consulting work with them. So I was getting to deal with all the young architects and designers, mm-hmm. and that was fun to be able to look at them and say, oh, if I change my language, and I can get them to understand why I'm asking them to do a task mm-hmm. they don't like. But what I found was the company that acquired this architectural firm had a very blueprint structure, mm-hmm. infrastructure things. They would start a meeting by going, the fire exits are here.
They were the airplane people. Yeah. Do, 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 right?
And the architects, because they were doing design things for like Neiman's and high-end department mm-hmm. stores, were very much into the, we just want it beautiful and we don't care what it costs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they're looking around like, what the heck does that have to do with our meeting? Mm-hmm. You know, you could just see that these two were going to be butting heads as companies because they weren't speaking the same language to begin with. And it was interesting to see how that came out in different memos about stuff at times, that you could see companies were different. And so a lot of the Germans are a much more blueprint structure too. So you do start to see it in different ways. So, yeah.
I love it. You know, and it really does help you to know yourself better. You know, yeah. So I was reading through my report and it's, you know, one of the things that tells me you like it when people. And so, you know, for me, it says you like it when, and now some of these I do find a little humorous, but then when I think about it, I'm like, yeah. So you like it when people, so Deb, you like it when people know celebrities, business executives, and other high net worth individuals. Well, I like to, my target audience are C-suite individuals. Yeah. Okay. So I might not want to know Kim Kardashian. I don't want to know Kim Kardashian, but you know, I might want to know the CEO of a company that's worked with her. I like it when people wear or carry high-end fashion accessories. Not sure about that because I really don't know what high-end fashion accessories are, but you know, I do, you know, if I look at a gentleman in a nice suit, you know, or, you know, a woman with pretty jewelry. So that might be that in there.
Yeah.
Drive a luxury vehicle. I guess I like a Mercedes better than a Toyota. Okay. You know. And I'm only reading some of these. Greet you with enthusiasm. Okay. Yeah. I like that. I might not want to be embraced, especially right now, in a big bear hug. But yeah. Convey a sense of urgency. You know. Let's get to it. Come on. Let's do it. And introduce. Now here's a biggie. I like it when people introduce me to others within their network. Ding, 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 ding. Right? That's,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I don't like it when people have low energy and are not engaging. I get bored. I'm like, whatever. And I mean, there's tons of reasons why they're like that. But I'm like, yeah, whatever. Or more importantly, fail to capture my attention. Okay, I am the person that goes squirrel. You know, so you need to do something to catch my attention. But I'm going through these because I'm also thinking it's not that I want to avoid those things. And sometimes you do, but I'm also thinking, okay, I need to remember that because of that, it's my thing and not theirs. And so how do I need to adjust to that?
Yeah. So I'm going to read you I've got your sales report open.
Okay.
And what it tells me is your business mindset. Mm-hmm. If they're making a difference, there's no shame in running a high profile competitive business. Mm-hmm. They are typically leaders with a heart-based mission and an insatiable drive to make millions. Notice there's that heart-based and mm-hmm. still money-making.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
For me.
There's mm-hmm. no judgment in any of this. Mm-hmm. This is strictly mm-hmm. the fact on, this is frequently what you would see in somebody mm-hmm. who is action followed by mm-hmm. nurturing. They serve others by offering support and they are self-motivated to lead everyone to success. That is exactly what you do. You lead them to success.
Yep.
If there's an opportunity to have fun while contributing to a worthy cause.
Oh, yeah. I'm there.
Get involved and get excited. So those sort of things tell me how to make sure I am embracing you in activities that would be fun and exciting, but still have a bottom line impact.
Right, right. Oh my gosh, Susan, we've only got 5 minutes left, and we truly have just scratched the surface on this. And so I can't wait to talk about this again. I think it would be really fun if, you know, if people listening would do their bank code and let us know, because I think we could have a great discussion on that, you know, to really be able to talk about it. But it is, it's so critical in your communications with people to know what you are and what they are in a pretty simple way. So tell people a little bit more about how they find you and the services that you provide.
So you can connect with me at LinkedIn. It's Susan K. Younger. If you want to crack your code, it's the mybankcode.com//. I can never remember which exact
slash.
One
I just say slash.
Get results as one word. And when you do that, then it comes to me so that I can specifically make sure that I've got your report. Otherwise, it goes into a big corporate funnel and it's not as, it doesn't give me the opportunity to reach back out to you and say, hey, let's talk about any questions you've got.
And that's the link also. If I go to your website, it takes me to that specific bank code page.
Absolutely. skyounger.com, and I will tell you my website is probably the least updated of anything I have.
because it's you're that nurturing action and your website's further down the list.
Yes. And it's also the sort of thing that I'm either on Zooms and people get my contact. I mean, if you want, they can text me. I do 214-677-7109. Send me a thing and say, hey, give me an actual link on my phone so I can go do it from my phone.
Right.
Because they can do it from their phone.
Oh yeah. I mean, you really are just picking between four cards. And so it's not a lot of reading. You know, and in fact, let me just read one here real quick. So since I'm action, so my values, and I have to push up my glasses here to be able to read these.
I do the same.
I know, you know, this getting older thing. Okay, so the values for an action person are freedom, flexibility, spontaneity, action, opportunity, excitement, attention, stimulation, competition, winning, fun, and image. And anybody who knows me just went, Now, maybe not image, but there's still a certain way that I look and, you know, and it's also my online presence too, things like that. So.
And see, for the nurturing side, you know, for me, it's that relationship, authenticity, personal growth, significance, teamwork, involvement, community, charity, ethics, harmony, morality, and contribution.
Right. And I'm a little bit more wanting the spotlight.
Yeah. And I'll take the spotlight if I've had a great relationship, you know, but I'm not the one who's going to push somebody out of the way to be the star. But what it calls me on the action is flexibility, spontaneity, and fun.
Right. Oh yeah. You know, and
pretty things, but I have never been somebody who wants to wear the designer label.
Right.
I would rather have it be fabulously fit and shine the light on me instead of somebody else's logo.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been known to cut logos off. You know, and blueprint was bottom for both of us, right?
Yes.
And so blueprint is stability, structure, systems, planning, processes, predictability, responsibility, duty, rules, credentials, titles, and tradition. Yes. And let's be honest, we need those people. We're not in any way saying that that's a bad thing.
And I got nothing against any of these. I like all of these. They just aren't what drives me. Right. I create stability when I make the company I keep comfortable. Right. I create structure to support them. I do these things in order to serve the others. Not I do these things for the, you know, it's not what makes me the happiest.
Right.
But I have always taken care of these things. But I was always that person who, when others were like, oh, I can just hardly wait until I can have VP or, you know, some big fancy credential title. Right. And I'm like, I don't want the title. Yeah. Give me the money and let me do the fun.
I know. People are always asking, you know, like in forms where it says title, I'm like, and it won't let me leave it blank. You know, and I think for folks who are, you know, building teams, I think it's really important that you make sure that you've got a good mix of these because your blueprint and your knowledge, your blueprint people are going to keep you on track. Your knowledge people are going to bring in the information that you need to do the tasks. I mean, you know, your action and your nurturing people are you know, going to think about, okay, who are we doing this for? And so that's, you know, when you're building your teams, that's very important.
And what's great about the knowledge people is they will see the hole in the middle that you missed. They will know the stuff that you left out. So there's a learning, the intelligence, logic, self-mastery, technology, research and development, science, universal truths, expertise, competency, accuracy, and that big picture. Right. So these are the ones when everybody else is like going, I got this idea. They've already like laid out a plan of action of all sorts of things to be done. And you're going, how the heck did they know
to I'm lost in the weeds, right?
Yeah.
You know. Well, oh my gosh, Susan, this really has been absolutely delightful. But do you have any final thoughts you want to leave everyone with?
I just want to know that people are really connecting with people in a way that allows them to be the real them, be yourself, be authentically who you are while still honoring who the person is in front of you. Mm-hmm. That is really what drew me to this. This is such a simple tool. And, you know, as you read in my bio, the book I wrote long before I was introduced this is Simple Living. I've always been about, it doesn't have to be complicated. It needs to be simple in how we do things. That doesn't mean it's always easy.
Right.
You know, but if you do it simply and honestly with people, you can really, really get a lot more out of life. And it doesn't have to be a hard process to get there.
I love it. Well, I can't wait till you have until we have you on again, because this is such a fun conversation. So we will definitely do that. But until then, I'm Deb Creer. I've been having a delightful discussion with Susan K. Younger. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.